Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Paul Ryan, Administrator of the Defense Technical Information Center. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is John Thomas. Paul, DTIC's public Stuynet service was recognized in the January 2007 issue of the American Library Association's journal Choice as, quote, well-designed, easily accessible, and the technical reports collection was, quote, the gem of the site. Could you tell us more about your scientific and technical information network services, otherwise known as Stuynet?
I'd be glad to. And essentially, there are three Stuynets. We handle information from the publicly available level up through secret. So we have a Stuynet called Public Stuynet where the documents, the technical information that DoD creates and is available to the public is processed through us and made available to the public as well as to our customers on what we call Public Stuynet. We have the second level up we call Private Stuynet. This is DoD's unclassified information, but it has some distribution limitation that doesn't make it available to the public. And that can range from available to DoD only down to available to U.S. government agencies and their contractors, and there's a series of distribution levels in between. When you register for DTIC, we find out who you are and what your capabilities to receive our information, what your bona fides are, and we match that up against the information on our websites and access to any of our information, actually. And the third Stuynet, we call Secure Stuynet, and obviously it has the classified information. The further up that hierarchy you go, you start incorporating the levels below. So when you get to the Secure Stuynet, you will get the unclassified limited section also, and you'll get the publicly available section. We find a lot of our customers will start out on the public Stuynet looking for information then graduate their way up.
Now, the Independent Research and Development Database contains well over 170,000 descriptions of R&D projects initiated and conducted by defense contractors independent of DoD's control and without direct DoD funding. One of DTIC's mandates is to prevent unnecessary or redundant research, thus eliminating the possible waste of taxpayer money and ensuring that researchers are maximizing their productivity. How are you working to foster relationships between DTIC and industry to further promote this sort of synergy?
Industry is a key component in the department's strive for new technologies and advancing research and development. At one point, the DoD lab structure probably did 80% of the research for DoD. That has kind of switched now, and 80% are done by private industry, obviously a key player in supporting the department. One of the ways we get that information is a DoD organization will have a contract with industry. It will result in a technical report that will come into our technical report collection and into our system. Another aspect, though, is these industries, these companies are working on technology that, not directly funded by DoD, does have interest to DoD. And it's not only in DoD's interest to take advantage of that kind of leading technology that these companies are working on, but it's also to the advantage of the companies to be able to provide an outlet for that kind of work they're doing, not connected to a DoD contract. One of the ways, therefore, for doing this is the Independent Research and Development Program, where industry has summaries of these projects. They go into a database, one of the three databases we build at DTIC, and provide synopsis of that information, project descriptions. We make that available to DoD organizations only so that they can search that information to see what industry's doing in areas of research that is of interest to them. And that kind of marries and maps to DoD's own kind of database research summaries of its ongoing projects. So by the time you put the two of them together, DoD's research summaries and the Independent Research and Development Database, you have a look at what DoD's doing in the area of research and development, and you have an idea of what industry is doing. And the idea is take a look at those things before you start a new project. Not so you can't do your project, but maybe you can start your project at step 7 instead of milestone 1.
Paul, as more and more information becomes available, DTIC has pursued more efficient ways to handle such volume. Would you tell us about your digitization efforts, transforming your organization from a paper-based workflow to an electronic environment? Specifically, how have those changes been implemented? What benefits have occurred since making this transition? And what are DTIC's future content management considerations?
It's no surprise to anybody that more information is becoming available digitally every day. We passed the input of technical information, technical reports to DTIC. We passed the halfway mark. In other words, greater than 50% of the information coming into DTIC was in electronic form sometime in early 2005. So that's one avenue of bringing the information and getting the information in an electronic digitized environment. We scan that information and put it up on our website so that the full text of a DoD technical report is available as soon as we process it and get it up. We also have a process to digitize going backwards. So if we get a request for a document that was created in 1993, which we did not have digitized, we will take the time right then to digitize it and add it to the collection. So that's a one-by-one request opportunity to work back in digitization. At the same time, we have never kept any paper of anything we've ever received. When we got paper documents in the 50s and the 60s, we created a microform image of it. So we have 1.5 million documents in microfiche. For the past 2 or 3 years now, we have had a process where we are digitizing that microfiche. So again, the full text of a report can go up and be made available. So we are moving toward electronics. We began about 13 or 14 years ago with an electronic document management system when we knew electronic information was coming. But we started so it handled our paper and electronic coming in, and we had a front-end to back-end process where a document came in and went right into this electronic document management system. That system, you know, is pretty much coming to the end of its useful life. So we're in the process now of moving to the next version of that system where it will be called the Technical Report Input Management System, TRIMS, where it's going to be the next step up. So we, again, handle information in a more efficient manner because we realize the ability to provide information quickly and full text is what our customers are looking for.
Paul, what is the Information Assurance Technology Analysis Center, IATAC, and how does it support the research and operational communities within and outside of DoD?
IATAC is one of the 9 IACs, as I mentioned before, and it is focused on all aspects of information assurance technologies. It serves as a central authoritative source for information assurance and vulnerability data, methodologies, models, analysis of emerging, all of the kinds of stuff you have to worry about for modern-day information systems critical to our nation's defense. It's a very highly recognized IAC. It gets a lot of business, not only from within the department, but from elements such as Homeland Security come to the IATAC looking for help and problem solving for issues there.
Now, Paul, I want to go back to one of the questions that John asked earlier about the volume of information you have. Now, you've said that you've been in business now for over 60 years, and that the organization still has everything that has ever been entrusted to it, and that a lot of this older material and information is still being used. Could you expand on that a bit more? What kind of older material is still being accessed, and for what purpose?
It's surprising how often older material comes into play. You know, there are a lot of people that think, you know, geez, in today's environment, something 30 years old can't possibly be useful. You know, why don't you just kind of get rid of that? Technology has certainly surpassed that. Well, our experience shows that that is not true. I can remember when the first oil embargo occurred in the mid-70s and long lines at gas stations. That's probably telling my age a bit. But one of the things that we had in our collection was documents captured during World War II that talked about the development of synthetic fuels. That collection became very popular in the mid to late 70s as people were going back to that kind of technology. There's other information in our collection that people just don't think of. There have been some recent catastrophic landslides, mudslides in the Philippine Islands. Interestingly enough, the Army Corps of Engineers was one of the organizations that during World War II had done a lot of soundings of the data and of the land and of the volcanic rock. And that information was in our collection. The Corps of Engineers recognized it, and when they got a call for help to provide that, they came to DTIC and said, would you get this stuff out of your collection and make sure we can get that to the military men and women that were going to the Philippines to support that effort? So there's lots of information along those lines that's older information, but is always relevant information. Once we digitize it, once we put it in our collection, the major cost to do that is over and done with, and it really costs us pennies to keep the information in the collection. And I've always said, if somebody can tell me which reports are no longer any good, we'll be glad to extract them from the collection, but nobody's willing to put a finger on a report yet.
Nobody's willing to purge that one document that may come back. That's great. Now, with respect to the folks at DTIC, I believe that more than 10% of the DTIC staff have library or information science degrees. What type of work could an information professional expect to do at DTIC? And in addition to yourself as the administrator, what are some of the other positions held by these individuals?
It's very interesting the kind of work that we have had the people with library science degrees or information science degrees do at DTIC. A number of them end up in the OPM, Office of Personnel Management, coding system as librarians. But a lot of people with library degrees also end up in the category of technical information specialists. And so they're somewhat scattered throughout DTIC in one of those two codes. But we also find that it's the versatility of these people that has made them so valuable. I mentioned how good we were with our early websites and how the department then asked us to do a number of those websites. I firmly believe that the fact we were so good is we didn't have the IT people design our websites. We had the librarians design our websites because they knew how to organize information. They knew how to create navigation tools. They knew how to display it on a website. Certainly the IT people were crucial in building the infrastructure behind it, but it was those librarians that were the core group that made those things work, and I think that's why we ended up doing well over 100 websites for the department. The people are in any number of jobs, from administrator, although, you know, that's – librarian isn't in my title now. I've got one of those high-level titles. But we have people with library degrees in senior management positions, from component information support to running – at one point we had a librarian, a trained librarian who was running our financial systems, our financial directorate. But to get much closer to what their degree is, they do reference work. They do database development. They help with acquisitions and cataloging of technical reports, indexing of those systems, systems development, providing library services for DoD personnel in libraries throughout the department. They're heavily involved in marketing DTIC services. There's not much that they can't do, and I think they're a very key resource to DTIC.
Fantastic. What does the future hold for DTIC? We will ask Paul Ryan, administrator of the Defense Technical Information Center, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.